Welcome to the CEN show. We have a special edition show tonight. We have the CEN Sports Talk, Second Take Sports Talk with Ronnie Roberts. And we have two exceptional guests this evening. But before I get to them, I'm going to introduce myself and then the panel. I'm Rosaki Mascani. I'm the host. And then we have Ernest McBride. We got Professor Amin Ra. We have a parental person here, Brother Terrence. We got Brother Ahi, and we got the co-host of the Second Take Sports Talk, which is Ronnie Roberts. And so what I want to do tonight, I want to start off with a few little stories here. My buddy here, Terrence, is somebody that I grew up with. We probably met each other when we were about, nine, 10 years old, even younger than
about,
that, brother.
Yeah, it's probably about 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, we were teeny boppers. Matter of fact, I remember him playing football.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the fifth grade or something like that. And I was in the third, and I haven't even played no sports yet, as far as the organized sports. So we go way back then, and let me tell you, he's an exceptional person. And I wanted to tell you guys also about being called OG. Right now, every time I go to the gym, because I still play basketball. Matter of fact, I started back. I didn't stop and started back. And I am 60, so I started back playing basketball, and I'm playing a 50 and over league. So when I go to the gym, the younger folks call me OG, and I'm like, what's up with that? And so, back in the day, I was like original gangster, but now OG stands for, I guess, a senior type person, and I really don't consider myself that. But the reason why I'm saying that is, on this show, we have people that are over 50 majority of the time on the show. And it's really, welcoming to have younger folks here on the show. We got two 18-year-olds that's going to be our guests. I'm going to introduce them in a little while. But getting back to childhood. So Terrence and I, real close. And we used to be in the street almost coming to blows about football. And I recall this one particular time. We was having a heated game. Because we play touch football out there. Some people play tackle on the concrete. We didn't do that. We played touch. So we was having this heated game. It was heated. And I was pissed off at him because we was playing against each other. And something went down. I don't know if he recalls. Something went down. So we was damn near, we wanted to almost fight. And so it was a tight game. And I was talking so much mess. I'm like, man, I'm going to whoop yo behind. And this dude is so talented. Back when we were kids, he wind up, scoring a touchdown to win the game. And I was so pissed off. I was like, man, that little, because he was smaller than me. I said, that little mother, But it was a heated, excellent game. And he just, as kids, he was one of the best kids, talent-wise. I'm talking about in most of Compton. And that was in, fifth, sixth grade. I mean, just awesome. We were on the same team. And we were playing the game, and Terrence, before the game, we was messing around, and Terrence wind up getting his eye. Something happened to his eye where his eye was.
Yeah, I got socked. I got socked in the eye playing football and everything.
Yeah, we wasn't supposed to be doing that before the game, but so he got injured before the game, and the coach was pissed off at us. He was mad, but we were playing in the game, and I think we lost, and the coach just got on us. And he was talking about Terrence out here hurt, playing his heart out, and all the rest of you guys wasn't doing too much of nothing. So, he was one of the most gifted athletes as a little kid that as they come. And I was like, wow, this dude just so talented. But the thing about it was he had a big heart. He was honest. He was courageous. And he just stopped playing ball because, like, we got into junior high school. He didn't start. He kind of stopped playing ball. And he was a heck of a track runner, too. He used to run cross country as a kid. And I'm talking about he was good. And so I said all that to say, I'm not surprised of the accomplishments of his son. His son is here. Now I'm going to introduce him. I ain't introduced him yet. But yeah, that was, we had a real high competitive type atmosphere in Compton on our street. We had all kind of athletes come out. We had a couple of professional football players that came out, came from our street. So it was highly competitive back then. So I want to just say, I want to introduce the guests, and then I want to say a few things before I ask them a few questions. So we have Jaden J. Will Williams and Landry LBJ Ballard. And I'm gonna ask them about those nicknames and where they get it from, because we hear those names in the pros. So I want to know about that a little bit later. But I want to take my hat off to these parents of these two gentlemen here. They just graduated high school. And the parents did an exceptional job with them. I mean, you couldn't ask for, you know, they're like model type students and athletes and just general great kids, you know. It's just so much you can say about them. And they're polite, well-behaved, all of that. It's like, where these kids come from? Because I'm not used to that. I've been teaching for about 30 years, and I'm not used to too many kids being that way. But it's a testament of their parents, the coaches, the school staff, their environment. You know, they were, I would say, raised the correct way. And then I want to say that they are really, truly student athletes. I actually watched their graduation online, and both of them are top 10 students of their school. They're top 10. So they are honor roll students. And you can't get it no better than that. And you want to get to basketball? Mm-hmm. I've been following Jaden and indirectly Landry also since they've been little kids. They've been highly competitive on these travel teams as children. And at one point, and they're going to tell us, because I don't know exactly when, they were ranked number one in the country as little kids. Their team was ranked.
Yeah, right before COVID.
Yeah, now it's mm-hmm. so 2019, mm-hmm. they were ranked number one in the country. And if you know anything about Jaden, I know Landry have to be the same way because their accomplishments say it. He's been telling me about Jaden and his work ethic ever since he was a little itty bitty boy. He just, you know, want to be in the gym working on his game. And then I know Landry been playing with him since they was about nine or something like that. I don't know. And their coach, they had the same coach from childhood all the way through high school. And that's a rare thing right there. So they accomplished a lot in basketball. Moving to their high school, they won two state championships, their junior and sophomore year. And I don't know if they made state as freshmen, but they were starting varsity as freshmen. And they went pretty far during that time. Mm-hmm. And then, unfortunately, they didn't win that third state championship because Landry, one of their main players, I mean, clutch players, he went down with a season-ending injury. And you would say that, oh, man, they don't have a chance to win this championship because Landry's not there. But They got darn close, and they could have won a third one without Landry, but Landry was there. He just wasn't playing, but he was there. And we're going to get to all of that. So now I want to talk about, I want to ask a few questions. Welcome, Jaden and Landry. I appreciate you guys coming out tonight. It's a pleasure to have you. You guys are great individuals. And I know that because Terrence told me so. And that dude is so honest, he wouldn't lie. Well, my first question is, and I'm going to start with school. And you guys can both answer this in the order you want to. What motivated you to be such outstanding students? Because I know when I was coming up, school wasn't a major focus for me. We were playing so much sports. School kind of came second, but you guys managed to, you know, be excellent students also. So one of you guys start off and tell me, what motivated you to want to be excellent students?
Something that we take pride in is, you know, we compete with each other on and off the court. So I would say, like, having somebody also pushing me off the court to do good in school, like who got the higher test scores or who's going to do the homework the fastest and turn it in. Little stuff like that just kept us going. And then eventually, like, the grades just were good. You know, we were getting good grades, and then the recognition just came with it.
Okay, and you're Jaden, and then Landry. Go ahead, Landry.
For me, like Jaden said, having somebody who can help motivate you and push you. We do compete in the classroom, but we also help each other. Like, if it's something I'm struggling with, he might be good at, something I might be good at, he's struggling with. And then, you know, even as a kid, my mom always told me that, like, I couldn't sign an NBA contract if I couldn't read and I couldn't understand. So that motivated me from a kid to always be involved heavily in school, pay attention, because I got to be able to know what's going on when it's time for the big time.
All right. Next question. Now, like I said earlier, Terrence used to tell me about how that Jaden would love to stay in the gym, wanted to go work out, wanted to play. So as youth, what drove you guys to be, you know, so competitive as little kids?
I got this.
Yeah.
I would say mainly, you know, it's just fun. You know, once you just love doing something. Ever since we were little, I could say we both love basketball. So just having to share that with somebody else, you know, and working every day, you see yourself getting better. It's not even that, oh man, I'm finna go to the gym. It's more like I'm finna go play around with L in the gym, and we finna just get better.
Okay, Landry, go ahead.
My first steps was to shoot on a little tights goal. So I don't remember a time when I wasn't playing basketball. So it's hard to really know what motivated me then. But I just know now it's like, for the love of it, I genuinely love playing basketball. It's not like it's not a time where anything's too hard in life where I can't just go to the gym. Like, that's my safe space and all that. And having Jay Will, like, every time we hang out, if we just even at home, we going outside to go shoot on the goal, and we doing something. We just always involved around basketball. So I don't know. I just love being around it.
Okay. Well, tell us about that number one ranking team. You know, who was on that squad? Was Jaden Mickens on that squad?
Yeah, Jaden Mickens. We had Jaden Mickens, Brady Handcuff, Roman Welch, James Greenhoward, me and Jay Will.
Where are these guys?
Yeah,
now?
Devon Scott too.
I know Devon wasn't on the team yet, Terrence.
Oh, he came. Yeah. Oh, he came after. Okay, yeah.
Seventh grade. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So Jaden Nick, his name is Nickens.
Yes,
sir. Nick.
Okay, so he's going to Kansas, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
On a basketball and football scholarship.
Yes, sir.
Wow, that's like exceptional. Now tell me this. Well, let me go to the next question. I'll get back to that. So I want you guys to tell us about, go year by year, about your high school career and the accomplishment. Year by year. Your freshman year. Yeah.
Freshman year, I say our biggest accomplishment probably was winning. We won a tournament in Norman, and Jay Will hit the game-winning shot to win the tournament. We was down mostly the whole game, came back, won that. And then what else did we do? Towards playoffs, we had a game. We was down 22 at half. It was like deep playoff run. We were coming through like the consolation side, trying to make it to state. And we won that game. We came back out of half, came back, won that game. And we made it all the way to the area consolation game. And that was like our biggest accomplishment, making it there. We were one game away from state. But we ran into Weatherford. We were blue. We wasn't ready yet, I guess you could say.
And did I mention the high school, you guys? It's a historically black high school, Frederick Douglass High School. That's where you guys just graduated from. Okay, so what? Okay, now what about the sophomore year?
As you know, we won state sophomore year. We had a really good year. What, 26-1. Early slip up game. You know, we bonded together over that game, but we beat teams from out of state. I don't think we didn't. That was the last time we lost to a team in Oklahoma. Like, we took that for 2 years. Yeah, all the way into senior year. So I would say, like, our run and playoffs and everything, we killed every team that was there. Yeah. And then we got into to state. And I would say that was where our biggest battle was. The game to go to the championship, actually. He hit the game winner in overtime.
Against, was this your sophomore year?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Who hit the winning bucket?
Or Landry, the game winner.
Landry. Okay.
Mm-hmm. King Fisher, who were the
They had won the last three state championships before that.
Okay, so. Now who was that big guy on your team? You guys had like a marquee player. Who's the big guy?
Terry McMorris.
Now, what did he do after high school? Because he was a senior, right?
Yes, sir. He went to Link Year Prep, his that coming out year. And then he went to right now he's at Eastern Illinois.
Eastern Illinois. How's he doing?
He's doing good, I would say. I mean,
yeah, he didn't play as much as he would like, but he definitely he got some good minutes, and they made the end of the season push. He got to play a lot during that time.
So now, what year is he in college?
He's going into his sophomore year.
Oh, okay. So he got a little ways to go.
He took a gap year, yeah.
Okay. That's good. I hope his grades are good. That's what I hope. That's the main thing for me. Okay, what about your junior year?
Junior year, that's when we got Jaden. Jaden transferred in. But at the beginning of the year, we kind of had a rough start. We didn't go undefeated like we wanted to. We lost three or four games early. And then turned the season around when Jaden came in. We beat Millwood, which is our rival school. Then we had Dynamic came. We had Dynamic, which is like Jermaine O'Neal's team. That's supposed to be one of the best schools in the nation. They were ranked number 4 at the time. And they came to Douglas to play us. We took it down to the wire. We lost by 3 points. Yeah, we was down, came back, sold it at the end. But it's all good. Then playoffs came, and we had Weatherford again. Made it all the way through state. Weatherford at the championship, which we played our sophomore year. So that was our third time playing them. Everybody expecting them to, because they won the last. The last one, we won the one before that. They were expecting us to lose that one, but we won back to back. Yeah. We was down 16, I think, at one point, like third quarter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Came back, won that game.
Yeah, you guys were the comeback kids. Now, I've seen a lot of those games. especially junior and senior year. I saw a lot of them. So let's get to the senior year. And I want to start this off. Let me start off by saying, what did you guys do? How did you manage to get through? Like, Jaden was injured most of the season. And then, Landry, you didn't even get a chance to play. Did you play any games?
I played like maybe 45 seconds of the first game. Our third possession, I came down, tried to make a pass, and I just felt something pop. And yeah, I knew it was kind of over with after that.
Okay, so tell me this. This is very important. You guys basically had an adverse senior year, and you still were very successful. What did you guys do to get through this season?
We really just, you know, after the loss of our point guard and stuff, you know, it was kind of like a regroup mostly, because, you know, when we was going into the season, everything looked great. You know, we just expecting it to be a breeze. But after we regrouped, you know, new guys fell into new positions. Like, I moved more to on the ball, and guys started taking more shots, playing more minutes. So I would just say, really, we just came closer together. And then our reason to be even on the court together and play as hard as we did is because for this guy right next to me, you know, he gave us motivation just to him showing up every practice, every game. He's motivating us through everything we're doing. So we had a good mentality just going.
Okay, Landry, how did you handle the season? And evidently you made great contributions, not even playing. So how did you handle that adversity?
I handled it. It was tough at first. You know, everybody expected me to be down and, you know, sad throughout every game and stuff. But I was grateful that last year I got the opportunity to play, because last year I hurt my knee before the season, and it was the same injury, but they allowed me to play it. They just said I needed 2 months rest, and I was allowed to play that season. So being able to play my junior year, I was just grateful for that. So when senior year came and I couldn't play, I really just took it as like I can help win in other ways. So I became more vocal from the sidelines, you know, helping Jay Will be more of a point guard, more of a leader on the court, because he had to step into my role. I helped other guys, like Trevor Snell was one of our point guards, helped him a lot. Mahdi helped him, but it was kind of just, you know, just trying to help other guys, because I still wanted to win it. I still would have got a ring if we won it. So I still tried really hard from the sides, and I even became part coach for a little bit.
No, you was an excellent coach.
Yeah, so. I was better than some of our sisters, maybe you could say. Nah, I'm playing.
I'm coming to you a little later, Papa.
See.
Okay, so guys, we're gonna move on to the next segment, and I just want to say, man, I'm very proud of both of you and the things that you have accomplished. You guys are model student athletes, and we can learn a lot from people like you, and I want you to have continued success. So now I want to go to Ronnie Roberts. Ronnie Roberts is an alumni of Douglas High School, and also he's an alumni of the school you about to go to, Jaden.
Yes, sir.
And you guys, before I get to Ronnie, tell us where you're going to school next year.
I'm going to Langston University.
Okay. I still haven't decided yet. It's between post-grad and, you know, I still have some JUCOs on the table.
Okay. All right, well, good. So Ronnie has a lot in common with you, Jaden, and Landry, because he went to Douglas High School, and also he lives right out there. I mean, he was here in Long Beach and we was teaching together some years ago, but now he's back home in Oklahoma City, and he decided to do the CEN Second Take Sports Talk, and we say, with Ronnie Roberts. So Ronnie, come on right in and let's kind of get this going with everybody about the Second Take Sports.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Good to see you two young men, particularly you two Trojans, for sure. and a future line, Langston Lyon. A little bit about my journey, guys. I went to Douglas from 60 to 64, first freshman class in 1960, graduated in 64, was in the top 10 in my class, I might add. Like you, Jaden and Landry, academics were of primary importance. I played football and ran track, but there was nothing more important than academics. Simply because for me, my motivating factor was my dad. And my dad worked at one of the packing houses, they called them back in the day, Armour Wilson. My dad worked for Armour Packing House, which was just a meat processing facility. And he would come home from work every day, so tired, beat up, that he would just sit in his favorite chair for an hour and smoke a cigarette and pass out before he could get his clothes off and take a shower. Well, I vowed to myself, just seeing him and the struggles that he went through, that, man, I want to work in an office. I want to wear a tie. I wanted to have a professional job. So education was always of paramount importance to me because I knew it was the way for us to escape as men of color. It's the only way, literally. Well, not the only way, unless you're just a super athlete. And even if you're a super athlete, you have to still deal with the educational system. And the better you are as a student and a scholar, the better you will be as a player, the better you own your money, the better you'll be able to build generational wealth for your family. That's what it's all about in these big million-dollar contracts. Congratulations to you, particularly Jaden, for choosing to take your talents to an HBCU. You could have gone elsewhere, I'm sure. Yes, HBCUs need young men like you, number one, not because you're an athlete, but because you're a scholar. Number two, and even before number one, you're a young man of good character, which is what it's all about. Having good character for you two guys to sit here and talk to us adults and hold your own is just so important, man. Your character will outlast and outshine every trait you have. Character is what you have when no one's looking and you're doing the right thing. And I can just see that exuding from you two. And that's what it's all about. The game that when Rashiki came down in the fall and we went to see Douglas play, it was the first high school basketball game I went to in the state of Oklahoma in 50 years, literally. I've been here for almost 5 years now and I never caught a game. I almost went to a Millwood game with a partner of mine a couple of years ago. But when we came, and by the way, my girlfriend taught at Millwood for many, many years. When we came, I met Terrence for the first time, and my impression of Terrence was even greater when I saw you and the way you carried yourself on the basketball court. Remember at all times, Will, you're a reflection of your dad. So keep that in mind when you go to the yard, that's what we call Langston. Keep that in mind wherever you go in life. Do you want to reflect well for Terrence and all the hard work he did to get you to this point? I'm certain you understand that. And I'm certain the same thing goes for you, Landry, with your parents. Because I don't know your parents. I've met your parents like I have Jaden's, but I can just tell you come from good stock. And that's just so important. And then the character issue. As far as the academics are concerned, the academics are great, but the athletics at Langston, man, very competitive athletics for a program that has literally zero money. But that's the case for most of the HBCUs in the country. When I got out of high school, I went to Howard University, which is literally the Harvard and the biggest HBCU there is. And I played college football for a year. And it was an eye-opening experience, for real, because to step up from high school to college, as Rashiki can tell you, when he went to Washington State, it's like night and day. You got, in essence, some grown men that you're playing ball with. But I'm sure you guys, playing on the AAU circuit, playing in high school, playing in the local gym, played with some older cats. And you can see them right away. And what they do is really they make you better. You got to step up your game. You know, you go from boys to young men to playing with real men, guys, 19, 20 years old, who've been around, and their bodies are fully developed, and you guys are pretty developed right now, but you'll be shocked at the improvement you make, Jake and Landon, in that first year of college. You're going to get bigger, you're going to get stronger, you're going to get more resolute academically and mentally, and your whole entire game will improve, and you'll see things that you never dreamed of, and you'll see the possibilities that you can make with your life. And that's just not just on the hardwood, but it's just your life in general, because most guys are not going to play professionally. Not saying you guys don't have a chance, but boy, let me tell you, just grind, grind, grind in the classroom. Good things will happen to you one way or another. Man, being Douglas graduates, we give my class, the class of 64, we give them $2,000. We deal scholarships every year to Douglas grads. And almost all of them, shockingly, have been 90% of them are the young ladies. And that's alarming to me as a black man, but I do understand that scenario, because you go to any HBCU in the country and predominantly females. And it's becoming like that at the Caucasian institution as well. Females are dominating the collegiate life numbers wise, and certainly for graduation wise. So just grinding, getting that degree is what it's all about. Being the best ball player you can be, but staying solid in the classroom will make you what you want to be. But the one thing I found out that first year in college playing football at Howard, the difference between high school and college, huge. It's like college to the pros, huge. But if you prepare yourself mentally, that jump is not so tough if you have the physical gifts. What I learned from watching pro football up close and personal, because we had season tickets to Redskin games, well, these guys were just another breed of animal, a beast. And, you know, it just made me focus even harder on trying to get the academic side together, because I knew right away I wasn't going to be a professional football player. You know, I think every kid in college has that dream. You know, maybe if I keep improving, maybe if I get myself here or get myself there, I can have a shot to, get in somebody's camp and make an impression. That's a possibility, but that's not a possibility that even some of the better athletes at the D1 school should be really considering, because of the chances and the numbers game are just against you so much in that realm. But the academics can never fail you. The good character, that can never fail you. You staying true to who you are and making your family proud of yourself, that part can never fail you. And I want you two young men to know that I, as a Douglas High School graduate and alumni, have been following the exploits of the Trojans over the last few years, and I'm absolutely amazed, because when I was at Douglas High School, there were 2,000 students. We had 360 in my graduating class, which is more probably than the whole school has at this point. I read an article, we were talking to your principal, there was just 125 seniors in the class. Is that correct, Jayden? And you guys, so when we were there, we were the top class in the state because of the numbers. We had 2,000 kids. Now you guys are literally a 2A school population-wise playing against the big boys. 4 and 5A schools, same thing with Millwood. Millwood is amazing. I said, what are you guys? You guys are 4A and Millwood 3A?
Yes, sir.
And your population levels don't support that whatsoever. I know schools can petition up, but what you guys have done on the north side, of northeast side of Oklahoma City, with the low population numbers you have and just the lack of resources, even though Douglas is probably the finest physical plant in Oklahoma City, that is a beautiful school. What they've done there is completely gutted and rebuilt it, but it's a great facility. But you guys should pat yourselves on the back, because what you've done basketball-wise, academic-wise, going through a scenario where the whole neighborhood, I grew up 6 blocks from Douglas, maybe 9 blocks from Douglas High School. The whole community is literally gone as far as young people, producing young people. I mean, the houses, the neighborhood is not great like it used to be. And still, that school and that tradition thrives, and it thrives because of young men just like you too. So I'm so proud of you. I sent a text to my classmates. In fact, we're having a class meeting tomorrow at the Old Redeemer Lutheran Church on 16th and Grand Boulevard, half a block from where I grew up. And I will give a testimony about meeting the two young men and how great it was for our institution.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Now, the nicknames. Jay Will, or Will Jay. My first year teaching at McLean High School in Tulsa, you guys heard of it. Did you ever play McLean? Okay. My first year teaching in 94 was at McLean High School in Tulsa, we had 950 black students, 10 white students, and 10 Hispanics. So we were like an HBCU high school like Douglas. We had one of my most well-liked kids, one of my students, I had him in a business law, was named Will J. And his name was William Johnson. And he was a 6-foot guard, running back and defensive back on the football team, kicker, around a 900-yard dash, which they used to run back in the day. Just a super athlete, crazy, goofy guy. Not a student, not one bit, but just a fun-loving guy. And this guy was 6 foot, could just jump out of the gym. Just so talented. But I thought about you, my first year teaching, Will J. Then I think about the J. Will part, because Jaden Williams, J. Will the other night.
Yeah.
J. Dub.
40 Dub. 40.
That's just so ridiculous. So ridiculous. And he's not much bigger than you, Jaden. What are you, 6'4", maybe?
6. With the right shoes, 6'4".
He's 6'3½" on a great day. 6'3½".
Yeah. Let's see. Early this year, I mean, he's a little taller than you, but he has a 72½-inch arm reach.
Yeah.
It's a freak of nature in many respects. But the second take sports talk was primarily mostly about the NBA and NBA playoffs. And as Rashid will tell you, from day one, I said Oklahoma City is the best team in the league and will win it if what happens, Rashid, if J Dub comes through.
Yeah. Much agreed. Much agreed.
Day one, I said, if J-Dub can give me 20 points a night or just make his average for 21.6, we win it all. And we win it comfortably. And, man, the first two games, he scored 16 and 17 points, and now he's just been rolling, 26, 27, and then he dropped a 40 piece. That was a thing of beauty. He made himself some serious money.
Facts. Yeah.
Serious money, because he and Big Chet are up for, they're not at the end of their rookie contracts, but they are eligible to get paid. And they're going to pay them $40 to $50 million a piece. And J-Dub is making like $6.5 million, and Chet's making like $12 million because he was the second player chosen. They're going to get some serious money. But they've earned it, no doubt about it. Big Chet had 9 points and 11 rebounds the other night, but was so good just defensively. So good being able to switch at 7-1 and stay in front of those guards. I mean, is this unreal, man, how this team, you know, being a season ticket holder and seeing them from 2 years ago when I first started going to games, they have just made so much progress. And that's kind of reminds me of your situation landing you and Jaden had a Douglas. You guys started out together. You grew. Started out as freshmen, as good players. By your sophomore year, you won a state championship. Your junior year, you are fortunate enough to get Jaden Nickens over from Millwood. And from what I understand, you guys all grew up together.
Yes, sir.
Back in the day. And he comes back to Douglas, and he's a heck of an athlete. Just a freak. Just a half. I mean, because
our freshman 1-3.
Yeah, is he a better football player than basketball player?
That's hard to judge because he's a freak in both sports.
He's a freak in both sports, but I think he's a better football player than he's a basketball player.
We all agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, he can. You can just see it just coming out. He's a hell of a player. Mm-hmm. What kind of student is he?
He's a great student. Yeah.
I think yeah, like,
he got it made. He's going to the right place because KU with Bill Self, one of the great basketball coaches in the country.
Yeah,
they have a rising football program. Their football program, KU used to be the laughing stock of the Big Eight, which became the Big 12. But KU is, they're coming up. And they're getting a hell of a player in Jaden Nickens. Hell of a player, both ways. Both ways. Now, you guys said your coach has been with you since your early days. Is it Alexander?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, Steve Alexander.
Yeah.
He's been playing for him since like third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you guys seem to just operate so well, the way he communicates with you. By the way, Landry, I saw you doing some coaching. I saw you when I came to the game with Rashikir and was sitting there with Terrence. I saw you encouraging your guys, and you know, and Rashikir told me, well, he's a point guard and he's out. I just couldn't imagine what you guys would have been with you on the court. But I saw what you were doing, man. That's to be commended. A lot of players would stick around, but coming to all the practices and encouraging the players, that's the, again, getting back to that character element, which I just love so much. I'm going to wrap this up by saying, I know you young men have been watching the Thunder closely. I'm certain Terrence has. and you both agree with my assessment about if J.W. plays like J.W. plays like J.W., we can't be beat.
Right.
And you know what's so ironic about this situation? I think they'll wrap it up in Indianapolis tomorrow night.
Without a doubt.
If some hook or crook they don't, they're gonna swamp them in game seven here in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
But they will wrap them up. But you know what, just to see that growth from them struggling when I first got here in 2020, right during the middle of the pandemic, they weren't worth a crap in 2021. But just to see them grow, just to see Shea become the beast that he is an absolute beast. What he does, he's so good that I can't even compare him to any past player. You know, I saw an article on Instagram this morning that Pat Bev, a player that Rashiki and I loved him and the way he went about the game, and Lou Williams. Sweet Lou, six-man of the year. They were talking about Shea during his rookie year, and Pat Bev asked Shea, do you know what you are, who you are? He said, a good basketball player, NBA player. He says, no, you're more than that. He says, well, I'm hoping to grow into a star player. He said, you're already a star player. This is in his rookie season. And Lou Will and Pat Bev were hazing the crap out of him like they do rookies in the NBA, but saying he was bringing it to every practice. He was always, you know, he has a stoic demeanor. He's kind of laid back like you are, Jay Will. And just right on point about playing the game the right way. Well, Pat Bev told him, he said, man, you're not a star. You're going to be a superstar in this league because you're an absolute killer and you're putting in the work. You know, if you guys hadn't heard this, he's the first player there at the Thunder, last player to leave. I mean, that kind of dedication is just what it takes to be a great player. One of the guys from Indiana, there are two guys on there from Arizona, and Roshiki and I worked with a good friend of mine, Tito Ortiz, whose son was the basketball manager at Arizona, one of the student managers, and his guy is Ben Matherman. And as you know, in game five, when we beat them in Indiana, Ben Matherman missed three key free throws down late. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Ben shot 20,000 free throws in the next few days. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
20,000. Because he's normally 86% shooter, 86% shooter. But I mean, anybody can miss a free throw. Even Steph Curry misses them. And he's like Mr. Automatic. But just that type of work ethic, that type of drive is what you guys are going to need to succeed, not only on the basketball court, but in the classroom as well.
Yes, sir.
I have a question before I diverse. Mr. McBride, are you related to the Ernest McBride and Tulsa phone?
You know, I don't know, because most of my dad's people, my mother's people, were from Bastrop, Texas, you know, Cedar Creek, Texas, and my dad's people was in like North Carolina, Mississippi.
But Mississippi. So Ernest McBride Sr. is your dad?
Yeah.
So, you know, my first classroom when I went to Poly, and Rush K and I were in the T9 program, was right across the street from right down the street from the McBride Center. I used to go there and take some of my classes. And that's the last place I played basketball.
Oh.
At the McBride Center. And I was late 50s in. It hurt me so bad that I haven't tried to do it again. But that's a beautiful center. Now they have a great Ernest McBride High School.
Yeah. That's
a state-of-the-art facility. Props to you, to your dad. Your dad was just a beast. I mean, the civil rights activism, the community activism, and just being a good man. And, you know, there is no Long Beach without Mr. Ernest McBride. I just want to give a shout out to you, your dad, man, because, man, an incredible human being, man. And his legacy, you know, will just forever be felt in the city of Long Beach, particularly for men of color. I want to segue into, want to hear from Terrence. And Terrence, I think I sent you a text that I want to apologize for not talking to you personally about the loss of your parent. So sad. And I've been there. You know, Rashki has been there. Sure, Ra's been there. It's just nothing like losing a parent. But you know, you've got your strong man, so I know you can go forward. So Terrence, I mean, I want to hear your thoughts on this whole process.
On, I'm sorry, on what process, sir?
The process, your sons,
matriculating
to Langston, what you think about the Thunder and what they're doing, and right. just what you've done, your work, your seed.
Well,
you so proud.
Yeah, actually, I am. I'm very proud of these two young men here. When Jaden first picked up a basketball, he was about 4 years old, 3 or 4 years old. Okay. And I used to take him to daycare because I worked, my office is right down the street from the daycare. So I used to go there during lunchtime and, we go get lunch and then we go to the park, you know, during lunch and everything. And he was so little, he couldn't even shoot a basketball. That's all he was doing, just dribbling around and everything and kind of chasing the ball around, you know? So, and then I take him back up to the daycare and then pick him up around 4 o'clock, bring him back to the office and everything. And then we go home and play basketball in the, you know, in the streets and everything. So that kind of got him, you know, liking basketball and everything. We didn't hook up with Landry until they were, what, in kindergarten?
Well, they go back that far?
Yeah, I think, it was actually by accident, okay? Yeah. Because Jaden and Landry, they was in the same class and everything, but only for one day. Jaden was there only for one day because he had transferred to my ex-wife actually had took him out the school and transferred him to another school and everything. So that's the first time they actually met. They got a picture with each other. They didn't know anything about each other and everything during the time. Didn't know each other played basketball. Moving forward, about in the third and fourth grade, they met up and everything, started playing together. And by the fourth, fifth grade, you know, we were going to the gym before they go to school. You know, at 5-6 o'clock in the morning. You know, that's how dedicated they were. You know, Jaden used to come in there in the morning, you know, and hey, Dad, you know, let's go to the gym, or, you know, the night before, let's go to the gym before we go to the, you know, go to, before I go to school and everything, you know. So, you know, we did just that and everything. Get Landry, you know, same. Get Landry and, you know, go get some shots up, you know, dribble and everything. So they was pretty much, you know, dedicated. As far as, you know, education, I always preach education first in the household here, you know, with Jaden and even Asha, Landry's mother, you know, the same way. She preached education first. You know, like you guys, you know, you can break a leg, you know, and your career can be over just like that, you know, but, you know, the books and everything, you know, that knowledge and everything, they can't take that away from you, you know. So, no, we always preach that and everything, you know, stay on top of your game, you know, it's, you know, you be dedicated to basketball, you be the same way in school, you know, in those books, absolutely. You know, so, but yeah, I used to, you know, take them to the gym, and actually I used to actually pay kids, yeah, older kids to play these two, you know, on some one-on-ones and everything. And they always joke about this because they said they never did get any of the money. You know, I always gave it to the other kids. You know, they looking for their payday, you know. Mm-hmm. But they was beasts. I gotta say, they were some dedicated kids and everything, you know, to the craft thing. And I couldn't have, you know, to where they at right now, I couldn't have dreamed this any better than what it had turned out to be. You know, they well respected in the community, you know, both of them, you know, academically, you know, and basketball. You know, Landry, you know, is a McDonald All-American nominee. You know, unfortunately, he didn't, you know, get to, you know, play out his senior year and everything. You know, but, you know, he, you know, he's going to, you know, he's rehabbing and everything. He'll get back on top of his game. You know, as Jay Will, he's actually rehabbing too. He was at a meniscus tear, you know, at the beginning of the season and everything. And he played through the injury, you know. But I remember that. Yeah, you know, so they both, you know, like I said, they, you know, they had that will and determination and everything, you know, and that fight, you know, in them and everything. And I'm so proud of them, you know, especially academically, you know, to be, you know, the top 10% in their class, you know, says a lot about them too. And the character, you know, you know, they're humble kids, you know. So you know, it I don't want to pat myself on the back and everything, because it takes a village to raise these, you know, raise kids, man. So, you know, I think it's a testament to, you know, their coach, you know, Landry mother, you know, so it's different, you know, aspects of people that came into their lives and everything to get them to where they at, you know, too. So I'm you know, pretty fortunate to have that that village, you know, behind them, everything. But
absolutely,
you know, that's you know, and I, you know, as far as basketball, you know, I think, you know, without basketball, these two going to still be successful in life.
That's what's important.
You know, and exactly.
You know, one last question, Terrence. Terrence, how about this? When did you and Landry stop playing one-on-one? When did you and Jay Will stop playing one-on-one basketball? When did he beat you for the first
time? Okay, wait a minute. So this story, right? Okay, I got to tell this story real quick.
Okay.
So we were at the YMCA, okay, getting up some shots and everything, you know, playing. So we was playing. What you was in? What, the sixth grade, Jay? Sixth or seventh grade?
Seventh grade. I was just coming back from a Achilles injury, so it was right. like my first month actually like being back on the court.
Mm-hmm. Seventh grade. So we was in the gym, you know, getting some shots up, you know, playing around. So I said, hey, you know, let's play one-on-one and everything. So we're playing one-on-one and everything. And was I up? I think I was up.
He's lying.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. whatever, dude. Anyway, actually, I heard something pop and I tore my Achilles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's the last time we ever played, man. That's the last time we ever played right there.
So before that, I don't think Jay was beating you, right? That's what I'm hearing.
Say what? Nah, he hadn't beat me.
Yeah, nah. Okay. He's still undefeated. That's what I'm
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Landry. Thank you.
I love to hear that.
I didn't play in sixth grade year. I didn't play in sixth grade year. The last time I played him, I was in fifth grade. He didn't even let me grow up a little bit. So
whatever, man. All right.
Absolutely man. Wonderful. I was speaking to Rashki the other day. He told me that you, Brother Ra, were part of Hoopa yourself in your day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm, you never know, you know. I played MVP of the league my junior year in high school. Played for Clark Kenyon in college.
Okay.
Led first at that time 10th graders.
Okay.
We didn't have 9th graders, and I was the first one to start as a 10th grader. And but I never had no real good coaches. Even Clark Kenyon wasn't good when I played for him, and he's a Hall of Fame coach now. But yeah. those were the days. But I just got. A couple questions I want to ask the youngsters. Are y'all in college or still in high school?
We're going into I'm going into my freshman year.
At college?
Yes, sir.
And what about you, my brother?
Yeah, I'm going into my freshman year as well. Yes, sir.
Freshman year.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's a challenge because you love the game. But you got to also understand that that's just something you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something you do. Mm-hmm. And you try to get more out of it than you put in it. And well, I mean, you put years in it, practice. It don't make no difference what your size is, even though they got 6'11 guards now, point forwards now, you know, and with exceptional talent and unique skill. Steph Curry proved that, you know, six-footers can play. Muggsy Bogues showed that 5'9" can play pro. But the point is that the word student-athlete, not athlete-student. So what is your majors? Have you decided what your majors are?
I'm going into technology construction for my at Langston, because they didn't have the I wanted to go into either architectural engineering or electrician.
Okay.
electrician.
And you said you might go to junior college, the other brother?
Yes, sir. I'm junior college or post-grad school.
Yeah. Well, junior college is good because it's cheaper and they work with you closer and you can get a lot of your general heads out the way. And, you know, they're not as challenging. But at Langston, you're going to get a lot of help. They take pride in getting students out of college. You understand?
And during high school, we took concurrent, so like we took college classes while we were in high school, and we actually have most of our gen eds already done. I think we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, you still got some more. I know in California you would have a lot more GEs to do because once you get to college, they have a whole different set. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though you took them at colleges, you know, that's lower division. Yeah. Community college. You was going to a community college, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's lower division. That's no higher than a sophomore, junior, sophomore. But when you get up to a college, they have what they call 300 level GEs. It takes 124 units to graduate in California, and close to 60 something of them are general ed. Mm-hmm. And then you got the optional elections, and then about 30 to 36, sometimes 40. But if you're going into engineering construction, you're going to have a lot of one-unit classes and labs and things of that nature. But anyway, make sure you focus. Stay focused and stay disciplined.
Yes, sir.
Love the game, but have a plan, as your father was saying, to have a plan. Me and Roger Key played with brothers that played pro ball. Me and Roger Key, they lasted 3 or 4 years in pro ball. He'd been a teacher for over 30 years. I was a teacher for 34 years. We lasted way longer than them. You see what I'm saying? And they played pro. But you have more opportunity. The game is going to change like it changed for us. They got, you know, timers on your shooting, you know, now three-pointers. They didn't have all that when we were playing. And you can palm the ball, you can hold people, you can do all kinds of stuff. But get into good physical shape. Don't lift weights and get the stamina, just like LeBron James. Don't be afraid to be a bodybuilder. Because if you're going to play in that sport and be your size, you're going to need a lot of strength. But the other thing is that stay disciplined, because one of the most dangerous places on the planet is college. Mm. You got fraternities, sororities, drugs everywhere.
Women.
Well, and some of these women would tell you, hey, you know, you want a joint, you know, you want to smoke, you want some of this body, you want to smoke some weed, you know, and all that type of stuff. So, Be careful, because women will turn you out, especially if you got some potential. But because you have a good father, that I'm pretty sure he's from the streets, because if he was in Compton, I grew up in Watson, Compton. He know all the games, and he know and don't never think you're smarter than him, and that you can get by without him noticing if you're slipping, because it's easy to slip. It's easy to slip, it's easy to get frustrated. But stay focused and stay disciplined. And then at the same time, remember that there's going to be over close to about maybe 70,000 to 80,000 athletes graduating from college this senior year. And out of them, many of them are going to be athletes. But as far as people graduating out of medical school, engineering school, it's way less than that. And that's what Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu said. So I always have a bag of plans. But, you know, you can go to Europe and play. You know, they have that now. You can go to G League and play. But, you know, most professional basketball players only play about 5 years at the most. You know what I'm saying? You can think of players you don't even hear about no more that was great. You understand? And most of them go bankrupt. You understand? Because they lived a fast life. You understand? Think. And as Malcolm X would say, think. and try as much as you can to stay clean, because you can go into law enforcement, you can go into all kind of things while you're going through college, and make money on the side to help your parents pay for it. But at the same time, man, just stay focused, man, and learn the science of basketball. Learn how to think on the court as well as play. They exploited us. All they wanted was our talent when we was coming. They didn't think black athletes could think. You understand? Now they all had a little white guard running around, you know, 6'2", the Bob Cousys and stuff. But learn the science of the game, if you can. I mean, listening to those commentators when you watch the game, letting you know what's a bad shot, what they should be doing. Study the game just as much as you study your math and your history. Mm-hmm. And become a, like you said, you I think you said you was coaching a little bit. That's good. Be a coach on the court. And always encourage the other players. But at the same time, be focused that your main goal is to graduate from college. That's your main goal.
Absolutely.
It takes the average cat 6 to 8 years to graduate to get a 4-year degree. Not at the HBCU, but in the state universities and things of this nature. You can get through it. And I'm not saying you haven't been told these things before, but I have to reiterate them because I was a counselor, academic counselor, and I saw a lot of athletes who put athletics before they put their discipline and their understanding of the politics of the game and the political aspects of the game. But y'all seem to be focused. You seem to be disciplined. And you reinforce each other. You're good friends. And you stay close to each other. And keep an eye on each other. And check each other. You know, check each other. Because there's going to be some ups and downs in life. And you got to be able to handle them. You know, people die. People get sick. Your friends. And you know, you can't break down. Your last thing you want to do is blow a fuse or get mentally weak. But I'm glad to listen to you. I'm glad that Brother Ronnie and your dad was here, and your coaches and all of them have done a good job coaching you, and especially if you've been with the coach as long as you have. He knows you inside out. It's like a second dad. So that's a good thing. All right. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Brother McBride.
You know, the only thing I'd just add with Brother Roberts and Dr. Rao was saying is that degree is important. You know, athletics is great, but I found out, you know, a lot of jobs I applied for once I had got that degree and I walked in there, they didn't really care because I did electronic technology at Long Beach City College and I tried to transfer over to state, Cal State Long Beach. They didn't have electronic technology. So they say you have to either go into engineering or industrial technology. So I ended up in industrial technology. But most jobs I'd go to, they saw that degree and then right away that tells the employer, well, this guy knows something. And so, and in most jobs, they don't care what, you know, they just want you to be able to do their program. They got a program already. So when you come in there, they want to know that you have the ability to follow instructions and to do their thing, you know. So that's very important. Like Dr. Ross says, get that piece of paper. And then when you're in college, learn all you can, because basketball, you know, you may or may not make it because it's real competitive, but so is life itself. So that's all I had to add.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Brother Ahi?
First, I'd like to say, Brother Robert said, who is an incredibly good-looking man for like 78, 79 years old. I mean, you look as young as I do. I'd say kudos to the family because just looking at these young men and the way they present themselves, it's just a joy to talk to them and to hear their process of getting to where they are. Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, number 22 and number 3, correct?
Yes, sir.
I was checking you guys out. This point guard is incredibly nice. I'm talking about your penetration, your passes after your penetration. You a southpaw?
You said I'm a what?
Southpaw. Left-handed.
Oh, yeah, I'm left-handed, yes, sir.
Okay, it's the old school. Southpaws considered a left-hand. Left-handers are considered southpaws. And your drive and penetration, I'm a proponent of using the glass. Such a sweet, soft touch off the glass. And getting in and everybody penetrating in, you pushing it out to your boy, who obviously is a scorer. So your understanding of the game is obvious. Obvious. I saw you playing last year, 25. And this is my experience with, I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, which was really just an experience. I'll leave it at that. And I was really looking, whenever I go someplace, I look for my people. And when I was trying to find, what I found was a plaque saying, okay, this is where the Black Bottom was. I think it was near a civic center or something. But I wasn't really able to find out where the community was. But I'm looking at the games, like you guys, I mean, and the schools, George Washington, I mean, Booker T. Washington, you playing Booker T. Washington and you go to Frederick Douglass. So you obviously have communities there that are Black communities. I don't know how they're structured. Is it like an integration around and you guys just go to a Black or a popular school for the Blacks or something? I don't know if your Black community is, if they're all there together, or I mean, you know, what's happening, because I had a problem finding where my people were, and the young people I asked, I were downtown, well, they were white, kind of scoffed, kind of took it personally that I was looking for you. So I want to know. And I know you come from a nurturing environment and you're young, you haven't really done a lot of travel, you don't have a lot of gauges to gauge what your experience is as opposed to the rest of America. What was your experience like from nurturing, elementary, socially, growing up where you are?
I'll start. I grew up on like the north side of town, so it's different from the east side. You know, on the north side, it's kind of more so. I wouldn't say it's
white. Okay, you can say it.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Frozen.
Yeah. Look, I could give you some. Let me give you some historical perspective on that. When I went to Oklahoma City, Douglas, the surrounding neighborhood was 100% Black.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we had 2,000 kids during my senior year. All of those folks have moved out into the, they have some nice communities out by the Millwood area, Wildwood, and some communities out there, but the true east side where the Douglas students come from is just no longer there. That's why I was commending these young men. That's why the numbers are so low. That's why they have 125 seniors. The community is gone. The community that fed into Douglas when I went there in the 60s is just completely different. All of us that are still living and still surviving, most of us live in Northwest Oklahoma City, where are the Caucasians are. I live dang near in UConn, where I am, and we probably have 20 Black families in my neighborhood of 300 homes. That's what it's like. So there is no surrounding community. The same thing goes for Tulsa, Washington. When I was playing Tulsa, Washington in high school, the surrounding community was 100% Black. Young families raising kids and building those athletic and academic dynasties that they built. It's no longer like that. The area surrounding Tulsa, Washington is low income at best. All of the prominent blacks have moved to Gilchrist Hills, where I built a home, which is 3 miles from Tulsa, Washington, which is pretty close. And it's a predominantly black community that is now being infiltrated by whites. And where I taught in McLean was completely in the hood. And it used to be all black. It's the area my son was raised in. It's still all black, and McLean is probably the lowest rated high school in the state from an academic standpoint. So the communities are not there. That's why I was commending these young men so great. The communities are gone. The prominent black folks who still lend some support to those institutions don't live in the neighborhood anymore. The houses are old, mostly two-bedroom, one-bathroom houses. That just doesn't, they don't even have the plumbing, the infrastructure, the electricity to support internet stuff. So all the folks are gone in the community. So that's a very, very insightful question you asked. I can understand if you went to Tulsa to find the black community, it's just spread out. Integration has gotten us, literally.
That's yeah, I know. When I was there, they had a black rodeo, and I would say, "I know you here." That's if you got a black rodeo, yeah. I know you here.
Yeah. They had Juneteenth this weekend, 13th and 15th, in one of the parks in Oklahoma City. Very well attended function, very well. We'll come together, and it's on the northeast side. In fact, it's not far from Douglas at all. What, a half a mile?
Mm-hmm.
So, they still have functions that are going on, but most of us, I mean, Terrence, you don't live in the neighborhood, do you? It's just the housing in the neighborhood that surrounds Douglas is not fit. It's just not.
Well, you cleared it up for me, because was kind of confused as to what was happening.
Yeah, we moved on and moved up and left those communities behind. And what's going to happen with Douglas in the next few years, white folks are going to get it, because they're expanding to the Oklahoma City. Paycom Center is literally, 3 miles from Douglas, maybe? We're within 3 miles from Douglas. So, you know, that area that used to be all black that is now the OU Medical Center, mm-hmm. and all that housing and all those condos that are coming up, they're slowly coming that way. And white folks want Douglas High School because it's the finest facility in town. And we'll get it. Just because
gentrification is coming.
Right.
Gentrification is happening to Douglas.
That's exactly what's happening, because they're taking all those homes around in the Douglas area. The white folks buying up that property over there and everything, and redeveloping that area.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, so which forcing a lot of black people out,
particularly the lower income.
Yeah, the lower income, correct.
You won't be able to afford to get there in about 5 years.
Right, exactly. And these are actually, you know, $500 to $1 million houses they building around there, around that particular area.
Of course. And I would like to say to Brother Jaden, now you say you're going to Langston University?
Yes, sir.
There are some dynamic people that come out of Langston University. And every year at their homecoming, they are true and faithful. You are about to step into a legacy, bro. And I hope that you use it all up. Enjoy the whole experience.
Yes, sir.
That you're getting ready to have. This is going to be one of the best times of your life, and it's going to put you in a class with these people. You're going to be in a group of these people who are going to be your allies. And Langston is the brothers that I know from Langston, some dynamite cats.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
PhDs, masters.
Yeah.
And of course, the Q's are the greatest things on the planet. But it's gonna be awesome for you. I'm excited for you because you got the goods. And my other man is just healing. Listen, number 22, Ballard Jr.
Yes, sir.
Had you played that last year, it wouldn't have been no fun because y'all have ran with it. Y'all have been
killing
them.
Oh, man. Without a doubt.
Killing them. And that ain't no fun. So,
without a doubt.
So I wish you you the best. You guys the best. And I'm impressed and I'm proud of you, brothers. Keep on pushing.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and I got one more thing to say to Brother McBride. I too have a electrical engineering technology associates, and I worked in Signal Hill with American Fiber Optics when they were first coming out, when the fiber optics was a new technology. So yes, get that paper. Get that paper, and the paper will get you paper. Okay. All right, my brothers.
Yes. Oklahoma City near each other.
Oklahoma City and Tulsa, 100 miles apart.
How far? How many? Yeah.
100.
Okay.
I like 2 hour drive.
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
Yeah. Hour and a half.
So we look like it's time for us to do our close.
Excellent.
And Jaden and Landry, we want to hear some parting words from you. We also want to keep up with you, see what your progress is. If you want to come back, like at least once a year and give us a progress report, that'll be good. If you don't mind, that'll be a good thing. And I'm looking to gather some scholarship funds. From the old heads around here. So don't be surprised if you get dropped a few coins.
Right. Sure. Be sure and look up Uncle Ronnie at homecoming because I'll be there and let me drop some change on
you.
Look me up at homecoming because I'm always there with my girl. We'll be there. And okay. I'll be flashing my cap of colors.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You're new, huh?
I'm a noob.
All right.
Absolutely. So be sure to look me up. I'll be there.
Okay. Yes, sir.
We look forward to that.
All right, Jaden and Landry, parting words.
You bet.
I would just say more than anything, just thank you for having us. People just who take part in our experience, watching us from freshman year or even before that growing up, it just means a lot to have that backing behind us. And we appreciate you guys for, Douglas alumni, Langston alumni, I just thank y'all for sticking with me and I'm gonna make y'all proud going forward.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Landry?
Like Jay Will said, I want to say first, I appreciate all you guys for your support. It truly is felt as a Douglas Trojan. I appreciate fellow Trojans, but I also just support all the like old heads who've gave me support. And I don't mean to call you guys old heads, but
that's what we are.
Hey, that's all right.
Yeah,
that's what we are.
With it. You guys, I really listen to the advice you guys give me because, it's crazy to see the things you guys say, it actually happens in real life and it happens for myself. And I'm thankful that you guys give us advice because we listen to it and it helps us when we run into those things that you guys are telling us about. So I appreciate that. And I just look forward to, just continue making you guys proud, making everybody proud, making Eastside proud. I'm gonna be somebody to remember one day.
And you already are.
Yeah.
Both of you guys, man. So keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
I'm proud of you too.
I'm thrilled to be in company of greatness. And that's truly what you guys are at such a young age and all you accomplish. and much success moving forward. You you always have a place here with us. Anytime you want, it's open to the public. We definitely gonna look out and do our best to support you as much as we can. And I'm proud of you. And keep up the much needed success and be the example that people need to follow.
Yes, sir. We got you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you being here. Professor Rod, what do we have next week on Tuesday?
Tuesday, I'm going to be discussing the Iraq war, the mass deportations of citizens, you know, the current events of that we're going through. Because, yeah, we just got to stay on top of that. What they're doing with the bringing Marines into cities and states. And, you know, we need to take a position on that and be aware of that, what's going on, especially if this war escalates, the devastating effect it's going to have on our economy. I mean, as far as gas, as far as, you know, you remember Ronnie Reese had to line up to get gas on odd days, even days. It can get real funky, Mr.
Unreal.
Get real funky. So we need to talk about strategies and then the understanding of what's really going on with regards to why they are. It's not about nuclear weapons because Iran don't have it. Israel has a nuclear weapon, mm-hmm. but Iran don't. And Iran and investigators that are monitoring them said they weren't even trying. They told America during Obama, they don't even want no bomb, no nuclear bomb. But they blamed them for supporting the struggles in for the Palestinians trying to get their land back and providing weapons and things to various little small groups. To resist the oppression of America and Israel on them. So anyway, we're going to be discussing those things. And hopefully everybody will look up some information and have some good questions.
Okay. So next week on Wednesday, we have Brother Muko coming. And he will give me the topic soon. I talked to him today. So Brother Muko will be here. All right, everybody. Appreciate everybody coming out tonight. Thanks a lot, Terrence, and the supporting cast of Jaden and Landry. Everybody have a wonderful evening, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Have a great evening.